Welcome to Alien Podcast. How you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Pretty good, man. You know, it's hectic all the time trying to get everything accomplished and that.
Yeah, I know.
before we get into tonight's show, I would like to kind of apologize to everybody who might be listening. I realize that we've been kind of sporadic as far as getting episodes posted online, and there's actually a logical explanation for that, and I would like to take the time here to kind of explain that. On top of my trying to get my own business started and off the ground, we've run into some family health issues. My stepfather has been diagnosed with stage 4 lung and brain cancer. And it's also in his blood, and I have taken some time off from everything to go up and visit with my parents and spend as much time as possible before we either lose him or hopefully he makes a full recovery. But he, on top of those things, he's also been experiencing other health problems. And, of course, I know that I wish him the best. And I know Paul does as well. Paul and I have spoken about it several times off the air, but I just wanted to let everybody know that there is a reason why we've been sort of sporadic with everything. And tonight, we're going to have a hell of a good subject, I think. What do you think, Paul?
I hope it will be. I hope it will be. I'm not sure how this whole thing is going to end up playing out in the years to come, but you know how I'm hoping it goes.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it turns out to be nothing more than just a comet or asteroid or whatever anybody else wants to call it.
For those of you who are might be wondering what the hell we're talking about, we are, of course, talking about the comet or asteroid or meteor, whatever you would like to call it, Oumuamua, which has recently been brought back up into the news as some new evidence has been discovered about that.
Yeah.
What do you think about the evidence, Paul?
Well, it's really kind of hard to tell what the evidence is because there's so much information that keeps going back and forth on what this is or what that is, and it's really hard to get a handle on what is actually going on with this. One outlet will tell you one thing, and another outlet will tell you something totally different. So it's almost kind of at a wait and see and see where this ends up going and how it plays out. But as it is right now, it's really kind of difficult. I've spent a lot of time looking at some of the articles and things that have been written. It's, there's some outlets that are downplaying it, and there's others that are, basically saying, keep an open mind. It could be one thing or another. So, I guess we'll just have to wait and see and find out what it may be or may not be.
Right. And that's exactly the way I take a look at it, is we have to kind of take a wait and see approach to it. Although I realize that at the same time, there is quite a bit of evidence which goes for the possibility of it being of alien origin. But
I think
there
the
again,
possibility
some of
it
that.
Is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we have to take a look at there being more than just a slight opportunity for this to have been of alien origin.
Well, the one thing that has intrigued me with some of the out of all the stuff that I've seen is the speed at which it's traveling.
Yes, that's the most intriguing thing about it.
Because I've seen that where they claim that the speed this thing is traveling is almost 196,000 miles an hour.
Right.
Which really kind of defies physics of the universe when it comes to stuff like that.
Right. The way that it, to me, that it shows the most potential for it to be as something which has been created through alien technology or whatever you would like to call it, is the fact that the speed has not really changed. If anything, it has started to get a little bit faster as it leaves our solar system, which is really amazing because with everything else that is out there, it sort of slows down because of the sun's gravitational pull. However, this hasn't. If anything, like I say, it started to gain the speed as it's leaving.
Right. So that's one of the interesting points of it, is that it's the speed at which it's traveling, which most things don't travel at that speed when they're in our solar system. In fact, nothing travels that fast in our solar system.
Right.
But it's interesting to figure out what this may be. Is it an alien probe? It could be. It could be. I'm hoping it is. You know, it's difficult to tell what it could be, though. It really is.
Well, personally, I think that it is, there's a possibility anyway of it being alien. And I believe that there was actually a prediction about it made back in the 80s. And if everybody would indulge me here for just a moment, I think I can possibly play a clip here that might prove that somebody was trying to warn us back in the 80s. I think that's what they were trying to say. What about you, Paul?
They're just a little bit off.
Yeah, just a little. Well, you know, they give it the Hawaiian name. And,
right.
And, of course, the Hawaiian name actually means scout, which is rather interesting. But, you know, when you take a look at the name Oumuamua, I mean, I once heard a comedian once say, everything in Hawaii is like they took somebody who had a stuttering problem and they told them to name it and hurry up, you know, Oumuamua.
Yeah.
You know, but in all kidding aside, I think that when you take a look at the possibility of it, the characteristics, I have to give it some credence to the idea that it could be some type of alien probe.
Yeah, I don't think it can possibly be ruled out that it is of some alien origin. You know, you've had some people say, well, you know, why would they be coming to look at this or what, you know? Well, you just never know why they'd be coming here. You know, and by the size of the thing, you know, people have said, well, it could be a troop transport. No, I don't think so.
No.
I think if they were going to do that, it would be much larger. But, and this thing came from its universe. They claim millions and millions of years ago. So there's no telling if this thing was even of alien origin, if it is some sort of a probe of some kind. Is it even active, you know, or has this thing, you know, just totally just a piece of something floating in space?
Well, I know recently there was a paper that was written by, I believe his name is Shmuel Bialy. and Avi Loeb, which investigates the possibility of it being of alien origin. And what they had suggested is because it is increasing in speed, that it's some type of solar sail, if you will.
Right.
However, other scientists argue the point, it would have to be extremely thin and lightweight. But my argument to that would be, yes, that's true by human standards. If it was created by an alien species, which is possibly millions of years further advanced, or even billions of years for that matter, further advanced than what we are, it could be any size that they want it to be, and it would still work. You know, this thing, I mean, let's face it, it looks like a 400 to 800 meter long turd floating through space that it happens to be dark red. But so, you know, when you take a look at the characteristics of it compared to other meteors or comets, if you will, it has none of those same consistencies that we have seen throughout, you know, throughout everything else in space.
Right. Plus, you know, a lot of the comets and stuff that are in our solar system, they've been here for millions of years, and they, you know, they come around every 200 years or something like that, and then they go away and they come right back because, you know, they're in that kind of an orbit. But this thing is, you know, and they say there's not too many things that enter our solar system, or at least that if there has been many, they haven't seen them. So that it's hard to tell if they, you know, have they been looking or have they not been looking for stuff that enters. I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't be looking for things, but,
When you look at the mathematical possibility of it just being a random object out there in space, that would have to mean that our scientists have far grossly misunderstood how much debris there would be out there in space. I was reading something about this, and it said if it's just random, space junk that's out there, then all of a sudden we have to recalculate for something like 10 to the 15th power more objects out there than what we initially believed.
Right. And that's what I mean. I don't know that. I think they're more aware of everything that's out there than what they let on. For something like this to just, you know, come into the solar system and then say, well, we never look for that stuff. Well, you know, just not sure about that. I'm not sure.
Right.
Yeah,
it's really kind of hard to make an educated guess. I know that as it passed Earth, SETI was able to take a quick scan of it, and SETI said that now there's no radio signals emanating from it. But there again, we have to take a look at the levels of technology. If we were dealing with a species which is possibly millions or billions of years older than what we are, they may not be using radio. You know, we need to quit thinking like humans, and we need to start taking a look at other possibilities. I don't know how we're going to advance into the future. That's going to be the way we do it. You know, Nikola Tesla did not invent the radio by sitting back saying, what do we have around me? You know, what do I have around me right now that I can use to communicate? You know, Alexander Graham Bell didn't sit there and say, well, I want to be able to talk to somebody further away, but I'm not going to bother because we don't have that technology. I can only use the technology of this time. Those two inventions alone, the telephone and the radio, were considered science fiction back then. And that's what we need to take a look at, is the possibility. And in saying that it would take something, you know, that would basically be science fiction, one of the things, I'm sure you may have gone to this conclusion too, Paul, because I know what a big Star Trek fan you are. But when I first saw that thing, and before they ever even mentioned the words possible, you know, of it possibly being an alien origin, the very first thing that popped into my mind was, holy shit, it's Star Trek IV. It's the probe.
Right.
It's coming. You know, and I've read the book, The Probe, and it matches a lot of what The Probe did.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting because, why make a big issue of it if there isn't really anything to it? You know, suppose it's just another rock in our solar system. Who cares?
Right.
But this one's doing things differently than other rocks have been doing.
I think the scientists, and I cannot remember their names offhand, that discovered it. Of course, they named it, 1I-2017U1, I think was the original designation for it. The scientists who gave it that, to kind of paraphrase something that they had said, was, if you're going to say that something is extraordinary, then you better have extraordinary proof. Well, to me, the fact that the damn thing did not slow down and, in fact, gained speed is extraordinary proof. It may not necessarily, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it is aliens, but it's extraordinary proof that we may not know our asses from a hole in the ground about things, that things out there don't necessarily operate on, you know, the same wavelength that our scientists say that they should. There are things out there in the universe which, of course, already have shown scientists, look, your theories don't mean shit. And Neil deGrasse Tyson has been very famous for saying, you know, science doesn't care whether or not you believe. Well, that's true. But science doesn't give a shit if you science either. Because when you take a look at it, everything that we think, you know, by Einstein's laws of relativity, everything that we think, as we learn more and more about space, we're starting to realize all of it's coming unwound. It's becoming unraveled. And everything that he had put out there, and everything that we currently believe, is slowly being disassembled. And I think that that's a huge thing. And, you know, there again, instead of sitting back saying, well, it can't be this, why aren't they saying it could be this? And to me, that's kind of what those scientists, when they said, you know, you need extraordinary proof, that's what they were saying, is we believe that, but we've got to be able to convince these idiots who say that, no, there's no way of it. So.
Yeah. There may not be any way of convincing anybody of it either, but
no, that's just it. I think that there are some people out there who can never be convinced, for the simple fact that they're going to be stuck in the old Einsteinian, is what I like to call it, because it's kind of a cross between Einstein and the Stone Age, of saying that, you know, things have to go by Einstein's theories. No, things don't, and proving that every day.
Right. You know, the other question is this thing, is it going to leave our solar system, or is it going to just be stuck in an orbit and do whatever?
Well, some scientists think that it may have actually always been within our solar system, that it very well could be like this ninth planet that's out there, that it may have such elongated orbit that we just simply never saw it before. But the sheer speed that it's traveling, I would find it very difficult that we haven't seen it before. And I know people have made the argument against it being any type of alien technology by saying, well, it's moving too slow to really do any type of good. How do we know this thing didn't take 1,000 years to slow down before it came into our solar system, and it's going to take 1,000 years to build back up to over light speed to get out there. We have no way of knowing. If it's a probe, it would make very good common sense that, hey, let's don't give this thing the ultimate technology. Let's give it only the technology that it needs to do its job and to function. And we don't need it to travel the entire universe at, you know, light speed or, you know, hyperdimensional speeds or anything like that. We just simply need it to get there fairly quickly. Yeah, it can take 1,000 years to slow down or whatever, and, you know, 100 years, whatever, you know, your imagination wants to put in there as far as a number.
Right. But, I mean, you know, the significance, though, is if it leaves the solar system, you know, well, then what does that mean, you know, that it was just, you know, passing by and, you know, maybe it's, you know, on its way to the next thing that it's going to look at. You know, I just, you know, I'm very hopeful that it was of alien origin. I really am. Some people say, well, that could be dangerous. Yeah, it could be. But, you know, some of this, this first contact or whatever you want to call it, it has to happen and it needs to happen.
Right. Yes, it does. Absolutely.
I think there's a lot to it that needs to that will come from it. We've talked about this in a past episode, but you know, I mean, the government won't come out and say anything about it. So if this turns out to be something, of course, you know, even if it is legitimate in being an alien origin, you know, the government will still, you know, they'll stifle it somehow to where, you know, that doesn't come out. But, you know, if it's a probe, well, does somebody else show up in the next, you know, 20 years, 30 years? You know, what's, you know, is it sending messages back to somebody that saying, okay, well, this, you need to look at this, or, you know, so, you know, here you have another group of aliens that decide that they need to come down here and look, you know.
Well, I made the reference to Star Trek IV earlier, the probe that was in that. And I realized that in the context of the movie, they weren't able to dive really deep into what was going on with the probe. However, I read the follow-up book called The Probe, and it brought up some very interesting points to the probe, that more or less the probe's job was to travel the universe and to make contact with every species anywhere in the universe. And if a species became extinct, then the probe would then travel to that system and make a decision about why that animal, you know, or species became extinct. So, and that was the whole premise to the movie, was that man had hunted humpback whales to extinction. We killed all of them off. The probe finally made it here to this planet. And once it got here, it tried to, of course, make communication with humpback whales. Didn't receive any, and the probe, more or less within its logical system, decided that it had realized that man had been the cause of the humpback whale's destruction. So the probe said, okay, well, mankind infests this entire planet. I'll just wipe out the entire planet and rebuild it from the ground up. You know, it essentially setting us back to the primal ooze and allowing this species, you know, whatever species, to evolve again on the planet. And that's really kind of what I took a look at this thing as, is maybe it's doing something like that. Maybe it has a mission like that where its job is to catalog everything in the universe. If, in fact, it is a probe, it would only make sense. I mean, we take a look at the Voyager program. The Voyager program itself, Voyager, was programmed to learn all that was learnable throughout the universe and to report back to us as humans. So maybe that's what this thing was doing, and just going into each solar system. You know, personally, I would have loved it if this damn thing would have taken like a 90 degree turn.
Right. That would have, that would have made a lot, a lot more interesting.
Yeah, would have made it a hell of a lot simpler too, to decide whether or not it's a, you know, a probe or simply a piece of,
well, that's just it. And is there going to be something else to come and visit here in the next few years or the next 20 years or whatever because of this thing showing up here?
Right. Or will, you know, possibly were they planning on coming here? And as the name Muamua suggests, maybe it was some type of scout vessel which came out here to check out just how intelligent this planet was. And it decided, we're too dumb. And they're going to wait another 200-300 years and send another probe to see if we've wised up any. You know, it's kind of a crapshoot, really, trying to figure out what it was.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell what it could be, what it may not be, but, you know.
What it is, what it was, and what shall be.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it would be nice if it was of alien origin, though. Of course, we may never know, but
right,
unless this thing does some sort of something drastic that, you know,
yeah, makes it jump to hyperspeed or right at the edge of the solar system.
Well, you never know. You just never know.
When you loved sitting in NASA at the time, my God, it's gone plaid.
You know, so I don't know. This I started seeing this a few weeks ago, and it was, you know, and like I said, the story kept changing every time I looked. There'd be this addition to it, or this was, you know, changed, and this was taken away, and which is, you know, what it's hard to tell what is what with this thing. It really is. I mean,
absolutely, you know. It is, because nobody can really tell, you know.
Mm-mm. No. You know, of course, most everybody's going to want to downplay it, which I get, but
right.
I think when you start downplaying things, I think you can leave yourself open to, you know, some bad things happening. You know, just to say it's a rock, and that's a, you know.
Taking it, you know, that's taking a hell of a guess.
Yeah, what if it isn't? You know, what if it isn't? So, you know, I guess I look at things a lot different than what, you know, the world looks for. I hope for things that may not happen and things like that. But, you know, it would just, you know, if it is a probe, you know, and who sent it and what race of aliens is it?
Right.
You know, that's the other thing we wouldn't know until they, you know, until they had gotten here, if they decided to come here. You know, I mean, do we have if something like that happens, do we have an Independence Day type of thing going on here? Or is it, you know, something else? But I don't know, man. I just don't know. You know, I just know I know what I want it to be. So whether or not it turns out to be, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it will be. Who's to say? Yeah. And then I guess it was this past week where there was a couple of asteroids that flew pretty close to the Earth. I'm not sure if you heard about that or not.
Yeah, I heard a little bit. It seems like we've really been seeing sort of a, I guess you could say, a pickup in the amount of things that's going by the Earth. And they're going by at times pretty close to us, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, we're getting far closer than AU. We're getting, a whole lot closer than astrological units. So it's definitely interesting, I think, out there.
Yeah. Not to mention that I never heard anything of these asteroids that were coming near us. And then after the fact, you know, that's when NASA comes out and says, well, you know, they were, you know, half hour apart or whatever. And
right.
You know, instead of bothering to tell anybody, of course, it would have been, you know, if this thing was going to hit us, we would have never known, you know, till it happened. But apparently they weren't too large, but still, had they hit us, it would have done some damage, though, that's for sure. You know. And of course, you know the way the government is. Well, let it happen, and we'll clean up the mess afterwards. If there's anybody to clean up.
So. Right. If anybody's left.
But, yeah. So, it's obviously more shit floating around in our... in our neighborhood than we know about, for one. So, I don't know, man. It's interesting stuff. Just have to see
that
what happens.
Is.
Just have to see what happens.
And
whatever
I would
happen soon.
I would also like to ask everybody to sort of keep their eyes on the sky. I understand that there's been quite a few more reports being filed lately, which is something that's rather interesting to see.
Yeah, I seen a video the other day that it looked pretty good, but it was probably something that was ended up being photoshopped or whatever. But and that was something that was over California. I'm not sure if you saw that or not.
Yeah, I sure did. That, to me, sort of, it was kind of reminiscent of some of the footage I've seen of military missile testing off the coast.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I'm not going to jump on either one of the bandwagons they was or it wasn't. But
right.
It's certainly, to me, either way, here's the way I take a look at it. To me, either way, it's very interesting. It's pretty fucking cool to see if it's a missile even.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the video was nice. It was just, you know, anymore it's so hard to tell whether something's fake or if it's real or, you know. Yeah, but I think you're right. It was most likely missiles of some kind, you know, something that might have just been skipping off the atmosphere or slightly above the atmosphere, actually.
Right.
You know, plus there's no telling what things are. You know, when the government starts testing things, we have no idea.
Right.
Yeah. We don't know what they have and what they don't have. You know, it might have been some sort of high level aircraft that they're, you know, working on, or some sort of drone or whatever.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, but it was a neat video. If anybody happens to come across it, it's worth looking at. But I don't think it's anything more than our government behaving badly. You know.
God, that sounds like some type of new reality show.
Yeah, it is a reality show, and unfortunately, we live it every day.
It's the U.S. government, too hot for TV.
two something for TV, but I'll be nice today.
Yeah. I would like to take the opportunity to remind everybody coming up on the 1st, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is going to be next Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central Time. We are going to be back live on the air. Yes, I realize we're also doing this one live, but that's only due to my lazy ass because I've been so busy with everything else, like I say, trying to get the business off the ground, things like that. I'm simply running out of time to do a lot of the editing. So I hope people don't mind putting up with a few more fuck-ups and sound and things like that. I hope everybody really enjoys it. And I really would like to take the time to thank everybody for staying with us over the past few weeks. I realize once again that we've been kind of slow putting out episodes, but it has been for a good reason. I don't ever want anybody to think that we're trying to ignore the fans of the show or anything like that. I just want people to understand that there is a reason behind it. And we cannot thank you enough for sticking with us through all right. of this. And it's really been tremendous. I was looking at the numbers today. We've hit over 100,000 total listeners, which is amazing. That when we started this podcast, we thought we might have 100,000 listeners over about a 20-year period. it's really been a humbling experience for both Paul and I to do this, and it's really our honor to be able to talk with everybody and actually have people want to hear the things that we've got to say about it. You know, I realize to some people we're just simple lunatics that you know, may go off on tangents and things like that.
We do.
And, yeah, you know, sometimes go way off in the left field, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay, though, because, you know, we know that we've got just an unbelievable fan base that stays right there with us through everything. Even when we're in situations like we are now where we have sick family members, and to know that people are sending out emails and asking us, hey, what's up? Everything okay? And that's an amazing thing. It really is. And like I say, it's very humbling to know that our fans are like that.
Yeah. And of course, as far as next week goes, there's not really going to be any specific topic. It'll be just whatever anybody wants to talk about, anybody that calls in that wants to discuss. We might be, a little all over the place, but
we'll just have a bullshit session. And if any of you would like to call in and talk to us, of course, the phone number for that is going to be area code 573, the number 4, area 51. Fairly simple number for everybody to remember.
Right. And, you know, if you want to call in and call BS on us, well, okay, that's fine, too. It wouldn't be the first time we've had that done. But no, any pretty much any topic, of course, except politics or religion, we'll be open to discuss. We may be working out some of the bugs of the live system, of course, but we're going to try to make it as entertaining as we can until we get everything running the way we want it to run. And if this works, then hopefully we could be on to bigger and better things in the future as well. So
we're also going to have a chat open on the Blog Talk Radio website. So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/alienpodcast, all one word, you'll be able to join and join the chat and listen to the podcast live as it happens. I think it's going to be a whole new experience for us, but it's going to be an extremely fun one, I think, to do.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it myself. And we can talk to live people and kind of get a feel for what people are, what they're after and what they want to hear, what they want to talk about.
You know what, with some of our ghost hunting, well, we may even be able to talk to some dead ones on the air.
You never can tell.
No.
You never can tell.
No, it's like Paul said, we're going to just keep everything sort of loose next week. There may be some violent cursing on my part as we have technical issues. That's the reason why I wanted to kind of run this episode tonight, is so I could get for any issues that come up. And it's sort of a good thing that we did that, because about 1 minute before we went on the air, we get a little countdown in our ear. It tells us how long before the show goes live. We had a technical issue where Paul was already on there. I tried to get in. I couldn't hear him. And then all of a sudden it popped up and said, you know, we're having trouble connecting to our server. Please try again. And I was like, oh, shit, we've got under 1 minute. And
right.
30 seconds left. Everything worked out. The only thing that didn't work was the intro song starting on time. But I'll have all that fixed. Hopefully by next week. If not, I'll just press the button and start it.
Yeah. So hopefully we get good connection, and then everything will be clear and everything for doing that. And it'll be interesting to see if we get any calls, and if we do, who they're going to be.
Right.
You know. So you never know who's going to call. Yeah, it'll be the interesting
thing. No, that's
thing
for sure.
All.
But I know that you feel the same way about this, Paul. We're looking forward to speaking with everybody who wants to call in.
Right.
And if for some reason we have technical issues or whatever, we will try to address them directly on the show, so that you know we're having technical issues, we're not able to get you in, or we, God forbid, have enough callers where we can only take so many of them.
Right.
But we're going to try to do this in such a way that it's going to be hopefully complete chaos for us and not the listener.
Right. And to reiterate some of it is, we're both in the central time zone in the United States. We will be broadcasting, or at least the episode will be starting at 7 PM. That's 7 PM central time. United States time, that is, if there's anybody outside the United States that's maybe planning on listening or calling, or so that would be 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. on the East, and 5 p.m. on the West Coast here.
Right.
And and that's every Saturday night at 7 o'clock. So if you're thinking of calling in, those are the times.
And that's something else I would like to mention, are the listeners that we have that are outside of the United States. You guys fucking rock. It's amazing. I've got a little heat map on this website, which shows me where everybody else is in the world that has listened to the episodes. And it's amazing, Paul. We've had people, you know, in the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. We've had people in every Asian country that you can imagine, every South American country that you can imagine. It blows my mind. We have one hell of a good following actually coming out of Australia, which that just blows my mind. I didn't think that our podcast would really reach people out of the Midwest. I didn't think anybody really outside of our houses would ever listen to us.
Well, you never know. You just never know. You know,
And I thought I was going to have.
We're just gonna keep getting better anyway.
I seriously thought I was going to have to pay my kids every week to listen to us or something.
Yeah, but they probably wouldn't listen though. They'd just download the podcast and turn it on and throw the phone in the other room. So, but yeah, we're gonna try to get better. We're gonna try to branch out into some new things, and hopefully we'll be able to have some guests on too. We just need a few people to be original and say yes.
No is too easy.
Yeah. So, no, you know what?
I would say our guests that we've had, almost everybody has jumped right on here with us, and which is something I know you and I have talked about before, John, and having John Titor on.
Right.
What an amazing interview the guy was, and has always been extremely cordial and nice to us. And we really appreciate him taking the time out of his schedule to come on and talk to us. And we will get coordinated with him again to have him back on the show. We've had a few other people ask us to be back on the show. I'm working on the possibility of a couple of other people, some rather large names, I guess you could say, within the ufology community. I'm hoping that possibly around shortly after the first of the year, being able to get some cryptozoologists to be able to come on and talk with us. Of course, I'm down here in Texas, and it's amazing to me how many just really great and very personable and knowledgeable Bigfoot hunters we have down here in Texas. Some of the biggest names in all of, Bigfoot hunting are here in Texas. And hopefully we will be able to get some of them on. I would love to have Lyle Blackburn on with us, and, maybe even play some of his music. What the hell? We can have him come on and he can sort of play DJ with us. Lyle is a very accomplished musician who, if you don't know who it is, you can check out his band on YouTube. They're pretty kick-ass. Their most famous song is Mistress of the Dark, which, of course, was written about the one and only Elvira.
And we might also want to try to have the president on, too.
What the hell? You know what? I'm going to try to have Bigfoot on. I think he needs to at least come out and do an interview with us.
Oh, no. I meant the real president.
Oh, well, yeah. The real president. Are you talking about one of the tall whites?
Well, hey, he is tall and he's white, so I mean, but
no, we are not going all racist on everybody. Going back to the interview that we had with, or I should say actually Paul had with John Titor, because I was having technical difficulties. John Titor was talking about who really runs this planet, and it is the race of aliens known as the Tall Whites, which sounds very racist whenever you take a look at it. But if you would like to know more information about it, you can, of course, Google Tall White Aliens, and you'll kind of get an idea of what John was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And to read some of that, you find out how they became in control of this planet as well.
Yes.
Which is a fascinating story, but for another time, actually. So.
Yes. Hopefully in the next time we have John on, that would be a great conversation to have.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully we can. Hopefully we can get that. Hopefully we can get a few other people on and, just make things a lot more entertaining for people that listen, and instead of just hearing a couple of old fools like us on here just putting out more drivel, as they say.
B- bitching because the bread pudding is too runny or something.
I don't eat bread pudding, but I'll take your word for it. Well, that'll conclude us for tonight's episode. I know it's been kind of a short one, but with Matt's difficulties that he's going through, he's had, not a lot of time to do a lot of research. I've been busy with a lot of things. I haven't had a whole lot of time myself. But that's going to change in the future, I'm sure. And we'll be back here on Saturday night, live, taking phone calls, attacking culture, and hopefully attacking a few callers as well.
No, bad thing, Paul, bad thing. All right, everyone. Hopefully you have a good weekend, and we'll see you next week.
To find out more about the show, or promptly send your death threats, or for your free, no-obligation anal probe, please visit alienpodcast.net.